I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's Thursday, and that means time for sports with our very own Tony Cox. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farai, here is a question for you. Which job is easier for a black man in America to get, president of the United States or head coach of a Division I college football program?
Well, I didn't see a place to vote for the coaches on my ballot.
Pretty good. Maybe it's not really a fair comparison, but a recent study suggests that getting to the White House just might be a little easier. But I'm not the expert here, so let's bring in our resident sports specialist, Bill Roden, sports columnist with the New York Times. Hey, Bill.
Hey, the great Tony Cox. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We have a lot to talk about, but let's deal with this one first, because the annual report by the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport at the University of Central Florida was recently released, and here's what it said, basically. There are 119 schools in Division IA of the NCAA. Those are the bigger school programs. There are only 4 black head football coaches out of those 119 campuses, the lowest number in 15 years. It's not surprising, is it? Or is it?
You know, Tony, it's stunning. I mean, your question to Farai is just wonderful. I mean, it's easier to become the president of the United States than to coach at the University of Alabama for an African American. And what makes it so phenomenal, Tony, is that if you look at the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-10, those teams are like 60-65% African American when you look at the starting lineups. So there is this, over the period of 10 years, there's been this phenomenal pool of people who have come through the system to be head coaches. I mean, it's mind-boggling, and I think that for all the elation that we've got for the presidential race, I think when you begin looking at areas below that, like in sports, I think you see that there's really, really a long way to go.
Well, you know, the NFL has the Rooney Rule, which requires NFL clubs to at least interview black and minority mm-hmm. candidates for head coaching vacancies. And by the way, the percentage of black head coaches is much higher in the NFL than it is in the college ranks. But still, Bill, could you ever envision a Rooney Rule for college football coaching jobs?
Yeah, you know, I've advocated that, and I'm going to keep pushing for it. You know, Miles Brand, the president of the NCAA says, well, you really can't do it because these are colleges and it's a little different. And there's no excuse for it, Tony, and there should be. I don't know if we call it the Rooney Rule, but we have to really begin to lean on the presidents of these universities, because the athletic directors are making these calls, and it's really the quintessential old boys network, and where you're basically telling the black kids there and their parents, you know, listen, you guys just kind of tote that barge, lift that bail, and we'll be the head coaches and ADs. And I think it's really going to be up to the parents, Tony. It's going to be up to the parents to really monitor where they send their kids to school.
All right, let's switch to the NFL, where complaints about inequity have taken a decidedly different turn for pro football players, at least some former pro football players, who sued the Players Association and won. What happened?
Well, what happened is that you have a class action suit from a lot of retired players suing Players, Inc., which is a marketing arm of the Players Association, and basically saying that Players, Inc. has systematically cheated a number of retired players from receiving the royalties that were due them in a very conscious and concerted way. And some of the testimony was really startling. I mean, the Players Union, which was headed by the late Gene Upshaw, was basically telling EA Sports, which does, you know, the Madden 2000 game, mm-hmm. to sort of distort the images so you couldn't really see who some of these players were. You know, they've got these games from the old Green Bay Packers, all these old teams, and they were saying, well, distort the images so you really couldn't see who these old players were, so we don't have to pay them royalties. And what's phenomenal is that all the stuff was on emails, you know, and so they won a huge award. They won like $28 million. But I just think it just shows the divide that the NFLPA created between the old and new players. And it's phenomenal. Hopefully, with the election of a new executive director in March, this divide between young and old players will end.
We're talking about dividing. Let's move on to the NBA and talk about how a team is trying to cross that divide. It's something you don't hear very often in sports. The NBA's New Jersey Nets are giving away 1,500 tickets to their home games for the rest of the year. But to get one of those tickets, listen to this now, you have to be unemployed. How about that? The Nets are asking fans to send in their resumes to get the free tickets. The club is then going to circulate those resumes to the corporate partners and to the companies of season ticket holders. And then, Bill, then the Nets are going to hold a career day on November 22nd at the Izod Center in East Rutherford. What do you think about that?
Well, let's take the high road, Tony. I mean, I think it's great, number one, given the state of the economy, that anything that you can do and a sports team can do to help, that's wonderful. You know, the sports teams, the entertainment industry has been doing, you know, surprisingly well in this wretched economy because, you know, this is where people go to escape. So that's fine, and I think that's really good. Of course, if you go to the Izod Center, I mean, the Nets are drawing absolutely nobody, you know.
For sure.
So, nobody.
Yeah, that's true.
They figure, well, maybe we get unemployed people to come because, you know,
nobody else is
doing?
Going, right? Well, that's one way to get people to come see a last-place team. Maybe the L.A. Clippers need to try to do something like that as well.
It could be catching.
Let's hit a couple of quick hits in the time that we have left. First, the Tennessee Titans, they're undefeated, seem to be getting stronger. They're no fluke. But my question to you is this. Vince Young, the quarterback, sitting on the sidelines, has to be thinking, well, what can he be thinking when the team is doing so well without him? He was already a head case. He must really be going crazy now.
Well, maybe this will get him straight. You know, maybe you understand that, you know, one cog doesn't stop the show. And, you know, I think that he'll – you have not heard the last from Vince Young.
All right. MVP, who's your midseason NFL MVP? A lot of talk about Kurt Warner with the Cardinals. He's having a great year. Scorched San Francisco Monday, 328 yards through the air, no picks, 3 TDs. The guy is on fire.
I think that right now there'll be two candidates for both quarterbacks. I think that Kerry Collins has got to be, if Warner is A, I think that Kerry Collins with the Titans got to be A1.
All right, Major League Baseball. It's not Manny, Manny, Manny. It's money, money, money. Agent Scott Boras has said to the league owners, back that Brinks truck up if you want Manny to be on your team. They've already poo-pooed the Dodgers' measly $60 million offer. What about that?
If I were Manny, I'd keep my behind in Los Angeles. That's where, you know, the dreads are flying. The people love him. I'd stay in Los Angeles. And if I were Manny, I'd tell Boris, listen, man, peace of mind counts.
All right. College football, before we go. Alabama, Texas Tech, currently number 1 and 2 in the BCS poll. But the question is, will they stay there if either one of them stumbles, Bill Roden? You've got 4 teams with 1 loss right behind them, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, and USC. And it seems that the SEC title game could be for all the marbles this year.
Yeah, I'm not saying this just because you're in Los Angeles, but I think that USC is going to be in that BCS game. And frankly, I like Alabama. USC is strong to play an awful conference, but they're a very strong team. So I like Alabama and I like USC.
All right, people out here will certainly like to hear that. Here's my last
That's
one
why
for
I said
you.
It.
It is semi.
I know my bread is butter.
You're a smart guy. Semi-official. The Lakers and Celtics are headed for the NBA championship again. Do you believe that? The Celtics are 8-1. The Lakers are perfect 7-0. Who really can challenge them in 10 seconds?
Tony, I like them both. I think those are really two strong teams, man. I can't vote against that. I love Boston and the East. I love L.A. and the West.
You're a smart guy, Bill Roden. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. You're welcome, Tony. It's always a pleasure.
Bill Roden is a sports columnist with the New York Times and author of Third and a Mile, The Trials and Triumphs of the Black Quarterback. He joined us from the studios of WGBH in Boston. We'll be right back.